Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and welcome to this second Sunday of Advent. It is the second of four Sundays in Advent as we anticipate the coming of Christ into the world, the coming of the light into our darkness. If you joined me last week, then you know we spoke about the first Sunday of Advent and its representation of hope. So we talked about the hope that we have not only in Christ's coming the first time when Christ was born and became human and dwelt among us, but we have that hope of his return and the fulfillment of God's promises. And today we continue with our Advent texts. The theme for this week, I didn't really talk last week about Advent as a season very much, but if you're in a specific kind of denomination, not every denomination has Advent or Advent wreaths, but Advent wreaths, you've probably seen them. It's a wreath usually with four candles around the edge and then one in the middle. So they are often three blue candles and one pink candle. Sometimes they're purple and pink. Then the middle candle is the Christ candle, and that is white. Each candle we light each week has a different meaning, a different theme. So we lit the first one last week, and that was hope. We light the second one this week, and that is peace. Next Sunday, we light the pink candle. That is joy. And then the fourth Sunday, we light the third blue or purple candle, and that is love. And then on Christmas and through the Christmas season, we light all the candles, including the Christ candle, because of course on Christmas we celebrate the birth of Christ. So I've always loved Advent wreaths, as I said last week, and I loved as a kid watching them get lit every week. I still do when I get mine out. This year we moved, and so I have not dug my Advent wreath out. I haven't dug any Christmas decorations out, really. So it's not that I can't find them. It's just that moving and unpacking, and I couldn't bring myself to dig through more boxes. So my Advent wreath, remains packed away, and I will just enjoy the one at church and not have the one that I usually get out at home. At any rate, let's go ahead and look at some texts for this week, this second Sunday of Advent. The first reading comes to us from the book of Malachi, a book that we don't get to read from all that often. It is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit at a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years." So again, that was Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We are introduced here to a person whom God calls my messenger. And we get a lot of messengers in the season of Advent. We will be talking more in the gospel about a messenger, someone who brings obviously a message, but in the gospel we get John the Baptist, who comes before Jesus and tells people about the coming of the Messiah. So the second reading for this week is normally comes from a psalm, but we get something a little different in Advent. And so instead of a psalm during Advent and for this week of Advent, it's another gospel reading. So we have the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So there you get a lot of the Advent themes, because the light and the darkness to guide our way into peace. And I don't know if you've ever noticed how long the first chapter of Luke is. It's 80 verses. And so it's pretty long, and we get these stories, or we get the lead in to Jesus's birth. So not only do we get the way Jesus's birth is announced, we also get the way John the Baptist's birth is announced. And we meet his parents, Zechariah. We meet Zechariah and Elizabeth, and find out about that his birth was foretold as well. So it's we don't get that story here, but we get some of that beginning, and we get another kind of messenger, and we get these themes of Advent. So our second reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and those verses are as follows. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Again, that was Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And now we move on to the gospel reading, although it's the second gospel reading for today. This is the, I don't want to call it the official gospel reading, but the gospel reading earlier took the place of the psalm. So this is the gospel reading for the second Sunday of Advent. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So again, that is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And we are going to go ahead and take our first break of the podcast so we can come back and start talking about these texts and the theme for this second Sunday of Advent. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the gold standard in music podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the texts assigned for this second Sunday of Advent. And the gospel that we read right before we went to break from the third chapter of Luke is one of those texts that people don't often want to read out loud. It's not as bad as the text that we read on Pentecost Sunday, but there are a lot of multisyllabic names, and it can be difficult to get up in front of people and read those names without stumbling over them. I will say to you what I've said before. I will give you the advice that my Old Testament professor always gave us in terms of reading out loud. Just read it like you know it. Just go through it, you know. Don't stumble over it, because when you read it like you know it, people generally don't know how to pronounce it either. And so most of them will be like, oh, that's how it's pronounced. Or they won't even notice at all. But when you stumble over it, as I did over at least one in there, just got a little stuttery, then they notice. It takes them out of that moment. So that's my random Advent advice for you today. And last week in the Gospel of Luke, we were almost at the end of Luke's story. We were in Luke chapter 21, but now we've gone back almost to the beginning in this Gospel, chapter 3, and we were very much near the beginning in that other gospel reading, which was from chapter 1. But we get all of these names, and you're maybe thinking, okay, it's Advent, lovely, whatever. Why do we have to have all of these names? It's like the who's who of politics in Luke's time. We get But politically, Luke is indicating that circumstances have changed. Judea is now ruled by a Roman governor, and the Jewish leaders operate under the Roman Emperor Tiberius. So Luke's mention of them speaks both to the current events of the time, as well as his stated interest, which he emphasizes in his prologue, in presenting an orderly and thorough account. So he's trying to give as broad and as accurate a picture as possible of the world that Jesus came into. So at the end of this list of leaders then comes John, son of Zechariah. And the second Sunday of Advent is pretty much always John the Baptist. There are several accounts of John the Baptist. This one isn't the most colorful. We aren't told that he's living in the wilderness and dressing in camel furs and etc. So he's not quite as colorful in this text as he often is, but we get John, son of Zechariah. And before this, we've already been told about his unlikely conception. Zechariah and Elizabeth are yet another couple in the Bible who conceive when they are quote unquote old, and Elizabeth is barren. We know that John is related to Jesus. So we've already been introduced to John. And so this intro into what feels like really the meat and potatoes of this text, just it sets up the political scene that Jesus is coming into, and the scene that, or the circumstances in which all of these actors are live, all these characters, all these figures that we're so familiar with, were living in at the time. And then we get to John, and John is not a leader like the leaders that were listed before. You know, he's not a governor. He is not someone high up and important, but he is important to us in the Advent story because he is the precursor of Jesus. He is the messenger. He's the one crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. So John comes onto the scene. He's baptizing people, and a lot of people probably saw him as maybe the Messiah, but for John, he knows his role. He knows that his role is to prepare the way for the Messiah, to announce the Messiah. And so we can look at John's role from what the angel Gabriel told Zechariah, because John gets almost as much lead-in as Jesus does in the Gospel of Luke, because we not only get the description of the announcement of Jesus' birth, but also Gabriel visits Zechariah and tells Zechariah that John will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. That's in Luke chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. And Zechariah then reiterates, "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High." This sounds familiar because we just read it, you know, earlier. "For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins." So we get this kind of condensed version of John's life, the angel Gabriel announcing his birth, telling Zechariah what his role will be. Zechariah then you fast forward a bit to Zechariah telling John what his role is. So we get this glimpse into John's life, because we don't know a lot about John except that he is preparing the way of Christ. He is preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. And as we know from everything else, the people still don't quite get it. I'm sure they were traveling out to the Jordan because they heard that there was this new amazing leader, and they went out to hear him. But did they really hear him? You know, they went out to be baptized by him, but did they actually hear what he was saying about the coming of the Messiah? Some of them might have, and some of them might not. But I do want to go back to this idea of all of the names that are in this text. And I was reading some commentary this week by Caroline Lewis, who is a professor at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. She's the associate professor of preaching and the Marbury E. Anderson Chair in Biblical Preaching. And she says that there are some rather pontifical names in the midst of a story that started out with an elderly barren woman who is then blessed with a child, a teenager who gets pregnant, and a birth in a stable with only animals and shepherds as witnesses. she says the contrast is striking, and perhaps that is the point. Jesus, the king, Jesus, the Messiah, seems no match for these rulers of the world, and yet it will be his reign that will topple the most prodigious of dominions. It will be the name of Jesus that will tear down the grandest of kingdoms and expose them for their duplicity, hypocrisy, and imperial lust. And I think for me, when I read that, it made me think of this theme of Advent for this week of peace. And you have all of these, as she says, pontifical names, in the midst of many other more humble names of Mary and Zechariah and John and Elizabeth and Joseph, etc. You get these names not only to center you in the historical context of this text, but also, I think, as a contrast, these are the leaders, these are the rulers of their time. And then into this context comes Jesus. Jesus, who is born of an unwed teenage mother in the humblest of circumstances, who is born without much fanfare. I mean, there are angels and they appeared to shepherds, but and that you could say is a lot of fanfare, but who really knew about it, right? And there are the kings, but they come later. So his birth is witnessed by his parents, and some farm animals, and then some shepherds who hear about it from some angels. And they had a pretty, they probably were pretty impressed, but, this isn't a huge thing that everybody realized was going on and was amazed by in the given moment. I do have a point here. I really do. But we're going to take another break of this podcast. And when we come back, we'll be wrapping things up. But we're also going to talk more about this contrast between the names that are mentioned and the birth of Jesus. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was starting to talk about the contrast between the names that are brought up in the Gospel, the reading from Luke chapter 3, and the birth of Christ that we are looking forward to. And the theme of this Sunday is peace, which is sometimes a hard concept to grasp, especially in the world I'd say the world today, but I think that you could say that the world in any generation, in any era, people might not feel much sense of peace. And even in this microcosm of Advent, we don't always feel peaceful. As I mentioned last week, things are rushing towards Christmas. We're trying to get things taken care of. There's a million different parties to go to. There's presents to wrap. There's people to visit. There's cookies to bake. There's trees to put up. There, you know, all of those things that we want to do, and maybe we feel pressured to do. There's so much going on that finding a moment of peace can seem pretty impossible. So you have these rulers, and then you have this story of John, who is also a leader, but he is a leader of a different kind. He is a leader without any kind of political office or office of any kind. You know, you find him in the wilderness. You find him out by the Jordan baptizing people. And John's role is simple. John's role is to announce the coming Messiah, to prepare the way. He's the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. And he is a different leader compared to those who are mentioned in the beginning of this text. And he is announcing the coming of someone else who is a different leader. Jesus was not the Messiah that people were expecting. Even as he goes through his ministry and tries to prepare his disciples for what is to come, they still don't quite get it. They are expecting a Messiah who will overthrow the Roman government, who will free them from being a part of that government, who will restore them back to the way things were before. And that's not the leader that Jesus comes to be. Jesus comes not as a warlike Messiah, not as a political overthrowing kind of Messiah, but as someone who comes in the name of peace. Jesus comes and rather than just overthrowing the government or, you know, doing anything that was expected of him, Jesus comes in love. Jesus comes to teach, to preach, to heal, to witness, to sit with, just to be present with people. Jesus eats with people that he shouldn't. He spends time with people who are considered inappropriate. He comes in love and he comes in peace. And so for me, this is what struck me this week as I read through not only the gospel, but also that commentary from Caroline Lewis, where she was saying that, you know, this is kind of strange that you have all these big important names or, you know, seemingly important names here. And, you know, they do center us in a historical context, but for me, they also give us that contrast. Yes, they were seen as important men of their time. And into this context comes John the Baptist, who announces the coming Messiah, who is not the Messiah that people are expecting. And Jesus comes in peace and Jesus comes in love. And for me, that is something that is so important, is such an important Advent theme, that we are looking forward to the coming Messiah, but we have to remember that our expectations aren't always God's expectations, aren't always what God is going to be sending. So even as we await Jesus's return, even as we await the fulfillment of the promises that God has made to us, we have expectations that are probably unrealistic. We are probably like the disciples or like the people before Jesus who knew. They were convinced that they knew what the Messiah was and what the coming of the Messiah meant. Well, when Jesus got here, it wasn't what they expected. It's John the Baptist, slightly crazy, wearing, you know, his camel hair and eating locusts and wild honey and baptizing people in the Jordan River, announcing the coming of the Messiah. And then the Messiah comes and he's this like loving, kind, not overthrowing Messiah. He's not what people expected. And our relationship with God is so rarely what we expect, because we always think that we know what we think we know, right? As humans, we're convinced we've got it figured out. And God continues to surprise us. God surprises us all the time, and that is not going to change. So God surprised us 2,000 years ago by sending the Messiah in the form of this helpless, vulnerable, tiny baby to be born in a stable under not even less than auspicious circumstances. There no auspicious circumstances. This was the most humble way you could be there. And with Jesus, that power is reoriented. We tend to think of important people in terms of their names, right? And we tend to put those names on buildings or in history books. And of course we do, but Jesus kind of turns that all on its head. And those who had power are shown to not. Jesus shows that their power isn't the kind that's important. Jesus is coming and showing of his power. His power is that, as I said, of peace, and his is of love. It is of the fulfillment of God's promises. And I want to read a little bit just from Caroline's commentary. She says that these imposing names cannot be overlooked as just names from the history books, for in so doing, we can too easily pass by the ones who never make it into the annals of our collective history, those whose agency is perceived as mere pawns in the plans of the powerful, instead of indispensable characters that make possible the potential future of God's kingdom. How nonchalantly we ignore those to whom the truth of the Messiah is revealed. The name of the Messiah is revealed. His mother, Mary. lifted up in her lowly state, regarded when she should be disregarded, favored when her status is less than favorable, how can she possibly be the one treasured with the name of the one who will bring salvation to the ends of the earth? This is what we're socialized to think. That's what we are convinced is true, that only the ones with names on buildings and stadiums are important and will be remembered. That only the ones with their names etched on coins, on myriads of memorials, or designated donations are worthy of lasting memory. But of course, these places of prominence, these namesake pillars are just that, temporary holders for a hope that in the end cannot be limited to time or space. And therein is Luke's critique, the Gospel's critique, in summary. We can try, and we always will try, to equate Jesus' name with the power we grant to too many names today. That is, in the end, one of our greatest sins, a sin that is idolatrous to its core. We call upon the name of Jesus as if its power is the same as the power of those who rely on their name for power. We act as if we can control and predict Jesus' power, assuming its equivalency to the ways in which power is enacted today. We naively assume that a simple mention of the name of Jesus will be convincing enough to suggest abandoning the world's powers so as to place one's trust in Jesus alone. Advent asks us to question, what's in a name? And more importantly, what does the name of Jesus mean? And that sounds like the beginning, right? That's where I'm going to end, with the beginning question. What does the name of Jesus mean? In this Advent season, as you prepare for the coming of the light in the darkness, what does the name of Jesus mean? What does Jesus as a Messiah mean to you? So far, we've talked about themes of hope and peace. And let those kind of be your guiding words this week, as you think about Advent, as you contemplate the coming of the light in the darkness. What does the name of Jesus mean? What do those themes of hope and peace mean? And I wish you joy and blessing in that contemplation. Thank you so much for joining me. Please join me again next week when we move on to the third Sunday of Advent. In the meantime, please, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.